You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:45pm with Dave Kellner, Paddy Aspel and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's National Hunt action at Plumpton and all weather racing at Kempton and Wolverhampton. Three meetings to look forward to on Monday. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm pretty well, Mark. I'm still kind of gnashing my teeth that I missed a couple of winning naps last week, Hoof Along and Indian Voyage, but otherwise I'm okay.
Good. What we'll do, John, is we'll have a quick look back at some of Saturday's stuff and the highlights from the Hennessy meeting and the Fighting Fifth at Newcastle. Then we'll get stuck into Monday's action. We must start, John, with Smad Place. Mightily impressive performance in winning the Hennessy and the way he did it as well.
Absolutely tremendous, and it was astonishing to me to look at the William Hill Racing Radio naps table afterwards to realise that no one had actually napped Smart yeah. Place. Yes, it was a tremendous win for a number of reasons. I thought before the race that he was absolutely cast iron to finish in the first four. I myself was silly. I had watched Saphir Dereux at Carlisle, and I thought he looked tremendous and he jumped really well. And so I stayed loyal, that awful word, to the Paul Nicholls top weight. But, you know, looking back, it was asking too much of a good thing under 11 stone 12. It didn't run at all bad. They made one mistake down the back straight. But Smart Place, tremendous win. And the fascinating thing about it, Mark, I'm sure you would agree, was that they went off at a very, very good gallop.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Almost a frenetic pace, really, for a Hennessy in testing ground. And we all sort of shook our heads and said, oh, well, they won't keep this up. Someone's going to come from behind. And those people who had napped Houblandais or Beau were rubbing their hands, thinking that that horse was going to come through in the closing stage. It never happened. I mean, it's a Smart Place and a Fingal Bay really jumped the rest silly all the way round, and Smart Place, of course, took it up entering the straight, and it just went further and further away. Definitely benefited this year from having had that preliminary run at Kempton. But it was a very impressive performance, and if it hasn't taken too much out of him. Now, that's interesting. I mean, he won very easily, so you would say, oh, it wasn't a testing race for Smart Place, but the Hennessy can be a very cruel race and takes a bit of time to recover.
Particularly on ground as bad as that as well. It was testing enough, wasn't it? So.
Yes, it was. I mean, he went through it. He seemingly did the job really well. But I thought it was fairly interesting afterwards. The connection said, King George, no.
Yeah.
We'll see what's going to happen, whether he recovers, and we'll make plans later, which I think is sensible.
Yeah.
The only horses to come from off the pace were Theatre Guide and Bobsworth. Bobsworth didn't jump particularly well, but stayed on really well in the closing stages. And Theatre Guide, well, he's always a bit of a question mark. He either does tremendously well or he completely blots his copybook. Well, it was the first in the Hennessy, did really well. And Fingal Bay also ran very well. I thought Fingal Bay was well handicapped. He made a mistake at a crucial moment, but he was beaten by a Smart Place at Kempton before, so there was no real reason why he should reverse the form.
Interesting to read the comments as well about Wayne Hutchinson's ride. You get the impression that he was a little bit more bold than Alan King maybe would have thought he should be, and the impression I get was if it had gone wrong, he might have had a quiet word in his ear. But
Well, I think that's true. I think it's always a difficult problem for jockeys, particularly in big race and a long-distance handicap like this. He had jumped suspendedly down the back straight, and one by one the opposition had made the odd mistake and fallen away. Was he to disappoint the horse or was he to go for home? He decided to commit for home. I think basically it was a positive and correct decision.
Yeah, I agree. He's 10-1 now, John, for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Do you see him getting close enough at 10-1?
I actually don't think he's quite of the class for the Cheltenham Gold Cup, but I have a feeling that yesterday's race, the Hennessy, was his basically Gold Cup in inverted commas. I think he'd run well, could easily get into the frame. And there was talk about the Grand National. I'm not convinced about that, but there we are. I don't think he'll win the Gold Cup, but he could run well.
Yeah. I suppose the question in the Gold Cup as well would be if him and Coney Gree both go off at a frenetic pace as well, would they cause problems
Correct.
For each other? But
and there's also a lot of water under the bridge before the middle of March, so you know we don't really know. But he's obviously an improved horse, and it was a really impressive win yesterday.
It was. We also saw a fairly impressive winner in the long distance hurdle, John Thistlecrack, who's been given quotes for the World Hurdle on the back of that. Thistlecrack now 8-1 for the World Hurdle. Were you impressed with him?
Well, I tipped him, so I was very impressed he won. I thought he travelled well throughout, looked the winner from really quite a number of hurdles from the finish, relished the ground. I think that was really important. He seemed to go through the testing ground like a knife through butter. And Master Deputy Dan, who I also thought actually might run quite well in the conditions and did so, of the two sort of really fancied runners in the race, Whisper and Cole Harden, I never really think that Whisper likes testing ground. I think he's better in the spring on, really decent ground. And so I wouldn't dismiss him completely. He just got very, very tired. I was impressed with Cole Harden. KP has said this horse has a lot of problems, really. And he's also a horse who carries a lot of condition, apparently needs a great deal of work to get him absolutely pipe fit. I thought he ran on really well. I think Cole Harden is still very much a contender for Cheltenham.
Yeah, it was a perfectly adequate reappearance, wasn't it?
It was, yes. He hurdled fluently, lost his place coming round into the home straight, but then actually ran on well towards the end and nearly captured second place.
Mm. Anything else stand out to you over the 3 days of the Hennessy meeting, John?
Not a great deal, no. I thought that the two big races were on the Saturday, and I don't think it was anything enormously impressive.
OK, just get your quick thoughts as well on the Fighting Fifth Hurdle at Newcastle, John. Identity Thief, the winner, getting the better of Top Notch and Wicklow Brave. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I felt very sorry for Connections of Top Notch, Simon Munier and his fellow businessman, because Top Notch ran another tremendous race. I thought he ran very well at Haydock the previous Saturday. It was just done by Irving, who was given a really hard race at Haydock to win that race, and that showed in the Fighting Fifth. Yeah. I mean, he never really jumped, and he was never really going. But Top Notch was, and he hurdled fluently all the way around. Really gallant effort to make all the running. I thought for a moment he was going to hold on at the last flight when Identity Thief rather blundered going over the hurdle and gave the initiative back to Top Notch, but he couldn't quite last out on the run in. Good win by Henry de Bromhead's Identity Thief. Obviously a horse who's got bags of stamina, likes the soft ground. I was wrong, Mark, not for the first time. I thought Wicklow Brave had the class to win. And, he came with a chance in the straight, but he didn't pick up at all. And he was, in fact, pretty disappointing. And Irving, obviously, as well. But I think Irving just, was too tired after Haydock.
Mm. OK, anything else on your mind, John, before we move on to Monday's action?
I think those supporters of Sue and Harvey Smith ought to be rubbing their hands with pleasure. Their horses are going extremely well, and I thought Danny Cook rode Wakanda to win the rehearsal chase. You know, a very positive, determined ride from the front, and the horse responded. He jumped absolutely splendidly, and my advice for punters is follow Sue Smith for the time being.
Yeah, she's really hit form. Good stuff, John. Let's move on then to Monday's action. Lord Budden's got four races for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look ahead to some of the action at all three venues on Monday afternoon, and we'll go through them in chronological order. So we start in the 210 at Plumpton, which is a mare's handicap hurdle, a class 3 event over almost 3 miles and 1 furlong. Seven of them in the lineup here, John? Which ones have made the shortlist?
Well, two of them have made the shortlist. I do think that the connection with Midnight Sapphire is really quite interesting. Two of the runners in this race, Millicent Silver and Kentford Myth, have both run against Midnight Sapphire in the past. Kentford Myth was against the horse at Newton Abbott some while ago and did pretty well. But more recently, Millicent Silver won by 11 lengths at Uttoxeter, beating the horse comfortably into second place. And on the strength of that, I think Nigel Tristan Davies's filly is definitely improving. Goes in the ground, the stable in reasonable form, and I will go for Millicent Silver to beat Kentford Myth.
Millicent Silver, the selection for Lord Budden, then in the 2:10 at Plumpton. Moving to Wolverhampton next for their 3 o'clock. This one is a Class 3 handicap over 2 miles, and well, it's 2 miles and a half a furlong. We've got six of them in the lineup here, John, and not a bad race to look forward to.
No, quite a good race, competitive race. I like this sort of race. And I've picked out three. Long Shadow will, in fact, stay every yard of the distance. But I think this is a horse has gone over the top slightly. Jason Ward has got plenty of success out of Long Shadow, but was badly beaten last time out and, could be wanting a rest. So I boil it down to two, top and bottom. Entihar at the top, Alan Swinbank and Joe Fanning, and Rosenbaum at the bottom. Bottom for Charles Appleby, Adam Kirby, and Godolphin. I think both of those will go pretty well in this race. Rosenbaum was fourth in a similar contest last time out, but I fancy Entihar here. Alan Swinbank has his team in very good shape, both under both codes, and Entihar is dropped a bit in grade, stays every yard of 2 miles, gets on well with a sort of attacking jockey like Joe Fanning, and I think Entihar, who was comparatively encouraging last time out, fifth of 11 in a similar race at Kempton, I think he's got a good chance. So NTR is my selection.
Okay, NTR won this race last year as well, John. So previous in the race.
Oh, very observant of you, Mark. Yes, absolutely. Well, that encourages me even more.
Good stuff. NTR then in the 3 o'clock at Wolverhampton. To Kempton we go for their 4:50 next. This one is a Class 5 handicap over a mile. We've got a field of 14 here, John. Captain Felix and Duke's Meadow both arrive here in winning form. Either of those two on your shortlist here?
Yeah, they're both on the shortlist, really. I think Duke's Meadow's got every chance of being in the money again. And I rather prefer of the two, Captain Felix, who represents Gay Kellaway, and it was a decent winner last time out. Gay's got her team running pretty well all over Europe, really, not just in this country. So I think Captain Felix will go well, but I'm afraid I've gone for sort of almost loyalties in this race. There are two of them. Rocket Ronnie, I've always been a supporter of. People will say, well, don't be silly, but an eighth of nine last time out, absolutely no chance at all, but did it run quite decently before. And then Shifting Star, John Bridger's Kempton specialist. And Shifting Star is a horse who loves running at Kempton, produces his best form. And last time out, he was actually at Lingfield and finished third there. So I think Shifting Star is nicely in the weights here and on a track that he generally does well. I think he could go in at a reasonable price.
Shifting Star then, the selection for Lord Budden in the 4:50, and we finish off in the 5:20 at Kempton Park. This one is a Class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs, 14 of them to go to post here as well, John, and we'll start with Midnight Dance, if we may, because he's won two of his last three starts.
Yeah, and will he make it three? Could easily do so. He's not on my list of three. But you're almost certainly right, Mark. So, I hope listeners heard what you said in that particular moment. I've narrowed it down to three others, and I thought Dandy Nichols' horse has got a chance big time. He's drawn quite nicely in six and wasn't disgraced last time out. Finished third at Chelmsford City. Interesting. What do you think about Chelmsford City? The ground's pretty sort of kickbackery, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's tricky sometimes.
Yeah, I do
I think the kickback is it. I think you need to be prominent there because of the kickback.
You, you definitely need to be prominent at Chelmsford, and there are some horses who like it. It's a bit like old-fashioned sort of Southall with the fibre sand flying about. Kempton, a different kettle of fish altogether. Dandy Nicholls' team, well, they've been fairly quiet, but Big Time, I think, has got a, you know, a fair chance of getting into the mix anyhow over the 7 furlongs. I also think that Loyalty might go pretty well here. Was not beaten all that far by Mind Your Own Business in a much better race at Chelmsford last time out, and actually ran rather well at Kempton before that. Likes Kempton Loyalty, but it's getting a bit long in the fang like me, so I don't think we can really expect he's going to win, but he could easily get into the frame, big price. Michael Wiggum is a chap I always like to follow, and I'm going to go for Michael Wiggum here. I think my target has got every chance. The only slight worry is that he's drawn 13, which means it's going to have to come wide. But the recent results of Kempton suggest that's not really a great disadvantage, and was a good second over course and distance last time out. And I think on the strength of that, particularly if there's money for this runner, my target, he's got a big chance. So my target is the choice.
Okay, my target, the selection floor button in the 520. Keep an eye on the market as well, by the sounds of things. Good stuff, John. Let's just have a little bit of a summary, if you will.
Yeah, well, you go for a long-distance hurdle at Plumpton, first of all, 210. I'm going for the Tristan Davis mare here, Millicent Silver. Then off to Wolver for the 3 o'clock. Possibly even might be Knapp selection here. I'm a bit keen on Intihar in this two-miler at Wolverhampton. And finishing up at Kempton with 2.450, old Loyalty really here for the Shifting Star selection. And finally, Michael Wiggum, particularly if there's money, my target in the last, the 5.20 at Kempton.
Superb. Thank you very much, John. Good to see you again. Good luck and enjoy it on Monday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Lord John Budden on Monday's action. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12.45. Dave Kellner, Paddy Aspel and Ollie Pimlott will be the team in the studio. It's National Hunt Racing from Plumpton, accompanied by All Weather Action at both Kempton and Wolverhampton. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.